I'd like to invite you to 1 Timothy, please, this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to continue our study on the subject of becoming a student of the Word of God, being studious with the Word of God, and studying God's Word. And this morning we highlighted 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. This evening, let's begin with 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. We'll read, and then we will pray. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13 reads, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we once again ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you would guide us and lead us into truth and understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Becoming a student of the Word of God. We stressed during the service this morning that we need to be diligent students of the Word of God. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, "Study, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And we stress the fact that there are some key benefits in studying the Word of God. And the first and foremost benefit, according to that verse in 2 Timothy 2:15, is that we gain God's approval. God is well pleased with us. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that if we are determined to be a student of the Word of God, then we will become a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We'll be useful in our service for the Lord. Because the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. We use the Word of God in our service for the Lord. So as we study the Word of God, we can be skillful in the usage of our sword, the sword of the Spirit. So there is the principle of approval. God is pleased. We gain God's approval as we study the Word of God. There will be usefulness. We'll be useful in the work of God. And then at the end of verse number 15, it reads, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." If we determine to be a student of the Word of God, then we will accurately interpret, understand, and apply the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Otherwise, it is not the Word of truth, it is the words of error. And this is what we have today. We have many false religions today that say they teach the Bible, but they are not teaching the whole Bible in its entirety. They're pulling out verses to prove a point that is contrary to the whole Bible. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to be students of the Word of God that we might rightly divide the Word of truth. This involves study. So we stress that very fact this morning, that we need to be students of the Word of God. Well, how do you become a student of the Word of God? Very simply, but yet profoundly, it begins by simply reading the Word of God. So how do I become studious? By reading the Word of God. That's where we begin. At the very foundation of effective Bible study, in becoming a Bible student, we need to read God's Word. This is where effective Bible study begins. Simple, yet profound. And this is where most miss the point. They want to be a student of the Word of God. So they'll do all sorts of things to be a student of the Word of God. They'll buy all of these books, but fail to read the book. Or they will determine, well, I want to be a student of the Word of God, so I will go to Bible college. No, you can become a student of the Word of God before you go to Bible college. Being a student of the Word of God begins by you and I determining to read the Word of God. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul commands young Timothy this command and teach, note verse number 11, not only let no man despise thy youth, be an example, but also he commands Timothy to do the above and to teach the above, to give attendance to reading. To give attendance to the reading of the Word of God, to the encouragement that comes from the Word of God, and to the teachings of the Word of God, give attendance to reading. And if you are determined to become a student of the Word of God, gain God's approval, and be equipped for effective Christian service, and rightly divide the Word of God, interpret the Word of God correctly, it begins with you and I determining that you're going to read the Word of God. I determined as a young Christian at the age of 18 that I'm going to become a student of the Word of God. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior at the age of 14. Wandered about a little, spiritually speaking, but just before I turned 18, God got a hold of my heart, and I determined I want to become a student of the Word of God. And you know where I began? I didn't inquire concerning attending SBBC. I invested in a Bible. I bought a Bible. The greatest investment I ever made financially took place at the age of 18, when I bought my first serious study Bible. And here it is. It still lives and abides forever. Amen. 1982. November 1982. I determined that I'm going to be a student of the Word of God. So I logically worked out I need to have a readable Bible. So I saved my coins and I invested in a study Bible. And I thank God for that day. And if you want to ask me, Pastor, what is the greatest financial investment you've ever made, I unashamedly will say to you, I made it at the age of 18 when I bought a Bible. And I determined I'm going to be a Bible student. And I determined I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. That's where it begins, in becoming a student of the Word of God. And Paul exhorted young Timothy, give attendance to reading. So I'd like to encourage you this evening to read the Word of God. To read the Word of God. That is where we begin. And we never leave that basis in becoming more of a student of the Word of God. It begins by reading the Word of God, and we continue to read the Word of God. I'm still reading the Word of God. I'm still reading the Word of God. And you will continue to still read the Word of God if you are determined to be a student of the Word of God. Make time for the reading of God's Word. I trust this is a priority in your life. And if you're determined to be a student of the Word of God, that's the place to begin. I didn't know a whole lot as an 18-year-old teenager. But in my heart of hearts, I loved the Lord and I wanted to be a student of the Bible. So I thought to myself, I need to buy a serious Bible. And once I got that Bible, by the way, from the Metro bookstore, dear Mrs. Wedderburn sold it to me. I'm not sure how much commission she got for it. But... And I bought my Bible. And I began to read my Bible. That's where Bible study begins. Now, how do we read our Bibles? Well, that's a good question. if foundationally, if I'm to become a student of the Word of God, I need to be a reader of the Word of God. By the way, if you were to study the lives of these so-called great Bible teachers, some of the big names that have written commentaries, I will assure you, you will find that they spend the majority of their time reading the Bible. It's a proven fact. How do we read the Bible? Well, I decided to look up the word read in the Bible. And note where it makes reference to reading the Word of God. And try to note principles that will help me to read the Word of God effectively. So if you and I are to be effective, diligent Bible students, we need to read the Word of God. But what type of attitude should accompany the reading of the Word of God? Let's note some references this evening to the word read in the context of reading God's Word. And let's see what we can learn this evening about reading the Word of God effectively so that you and I will grow in the likeness of Christ, so that you and I will learn what it means to walk in victory. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 24. Here in Exodus chapter 24, we had the first recording of the word read in the Bible. Exodus chapter 24. If my Strong's has not let me down, this is the first reference to the word read in the Bible. Now you know me, I get awfully excited when I read of a word mentioned for the first time. And I got awfully excited, not awfully, wonderfully excited, about what could this verse possibly teach us concerning the reading of the Scriptures, the first mention of read. Exodus chapter 24, Exodus chapter 24, verse number 7, it reads, "And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said that all the people have said, we will do and be obedient." There you go. The first mention of the word read in the context of reading the Bible, the very first mention in the Scriptures, and there is a connection between reading the Word of God and a determination to obey the Word of God. That's how we can read the Word of God effectively. We need to be prepared to obey the Word of God. Obedience needs to accompany the reading of the Word of God. And I determined as an 18-year-old teenager with my new Bible that I was going to read the Word of God, and I wasn't just going to seek knowledge. I desired that I wanted to obey the Word of God. And if you were to look through my old Scofield Bible here, you'll find it underlined all over. Because it was all inspired of God to me, even all the notes. Even all of Scofield's notes. It was all inspired of God. I just wanted to obey. I just wanted to know, and I wanted to obey. And that's the place to begin, beloved, obedience. How simple, yet how profound. If we're to read the Word of God, we're not just reading the Word of God to gain knowledge. Talk to me. We are reading the Word of God that we might obey the Word of God. We are reading the Word of God that we might obey the Word of God. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 4 makes reference to having our senses exercised. That the whole idea of the Word of God is for usefulness. We might learn to do. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable not only to educate us concerning the teachings of God, but also to furnish us unto all good works. Obedience needs to accompany the study of the Word of God. And here in Exodus chapter 24, verse number 7, he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, their attitude, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. That's how we can effectively read the Word of God. Oh, Pastor, that's so obvious. Yes! So why don't we do it? Why don't we have revival? Why are some of you struggling? Why are some of your lives a mess? Because you're not obedient to the Word of God. Why aren't our churches healthier? Why aren't there more people on the mission field? Because we're not obedient to the Word of God. Don't look at me smug and say, Pastor, that's obvious. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. We pray for laborers. Where are they? Where are they? We say we believe in forgiveness, but we won't forgive. God deserves a tithe, but we rob God. Read the Word of God, determined to obey it. Get my point? First mention of the word read. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Are we still friends? Good. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 19. And it shall be with him that he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Once again, we see the principle of obedience, but note the phrase there, to fear the Lord his God. A reverence for God. As we read the Word of God, we need to read in such a, in a manner that we are determined, Lord, I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey as I read your Word. I'm ready, O God, to learn from you, and I'm ready to obey. But also the Bible teaches us that as we read the Word of God, we need to reverence the God of the Word. We need to reverence the God of the Word and the words of our God. This is the inspired Word of God. This is sacred. This is the Word of God. This is my most prized possession that I own. The Word of God. This is the eternal Word of God. And if we are to effectively read the Word of God, then we need to treat the Word of God with great respect and great reverence, because this is the words of God. It is my God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. This is the Word of God. We need to reverence the God of the Word. And that's how we ought to read the Bible. It ought to be a very sacred time when you and I open up the Scriptures, whenever it is, and all of a sudden you ought to be filled with awe of God. Have a reverence for God. How flippant we often are when it comes to the Word of God. We wonder why we don't get much out of the Word of God, because we don't fear God. This is the Word of God. You know, Muslims are known to kiss their Quran. When was the last time you kissed your Bible? Not that I'm saying you ought to kiss your Bible, you ought to love your Bible. You don't have to kiss your Bible to prove that you love it. Just love it. Love the God of the Bible. the fear of God. So we read the Bible with a reverence and a respect for God. This is not reading the daily news. This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word of God. So we read the Word of God with a heart desire to obey. We read the Word of God with a reverence for our God. This is how we are to read. What about Deuteronomy chapter 31, please? What else should accompany the reading of the Word of God? So Bible reading is at the basis of becoming a diligent Bible student. I need to be prepared to obey. I need to reverence God. Look at verse 11, please, of Deuteronomy chapter 31. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Listening. Listening. As we read the Word of God, we need to read with a heart desire to obey. We need to read the Word of God with a reverence for God, and we need to also read the Word of God listening. Our Lord Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Just because you've got two of these, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily listening. I can work that one out. God has given us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Some of us need to take note of that. Amen. Especially when it comes to becoming a diligent Bible student. We need to listen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to tune in and listen. Listen as we read the Word of God. Listening. Listening. Very, very important. That's why it's so important to have a quiet place and a quiet time and have a schedule and to make sure that you remove the distractions of this world so that you can listen to God. The devil is a master at creating noise. He's a master at creating noise, and you and I need to read the Word of God in a quiet place so that we can listen. Listen, because the world has a way of drowning out the voice of God. Go to Joshua chapter 8, please. We're only going to touch on these principles for the sake of time. Quickly, Joshua chapter 8. You think quick, I'll talk quick, and we'll be done by 12 midnight. Joshua chapter 8, please, verses 34 and 35. It reads, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, and the little ones, and the strangers, that were conversant among them. Joshua made sure that God's people were exposed to all of the Word of God. The cursings and the blessings. It is all the Word of God. And we as God's people, if we're to be effective, diligent students of the Word of God, if we're to read the Scriptures in a way that we will become diligent students of the Word of God, then we need to understand the whole Bible has equal value. the blessings and the curses. And we need to place equal value on the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need to value all of God's Word. My Bible teaches me that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture. And may God help us to value the Word of God. Now, when I determine to read my Bible, when I determine to be a student of the Bible, guess where I began? Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. I worked it out that this is all of God's Word, and I might as well begin at the start at the beginning. And by God's grace, I just plowed through it all. As an 18-year-old, I went through the Leviticus and the Numbers and the Chronicles and all the names. And because it was all the Word of God. I determined to do that. And beloved, when you and I read our Bibles, listen, this is all the inspired Word of God. And that's why we encourage within this church family that you read the whole Bible in a year. This is all of God. Song of Solomon is of God. The book of Esther is of God. The book of Numbers, Leviticus, it's of God. The book of Jude, Philemon, it's all of God. I believe it's a shameful thing for God's people, the testimony of some of God's people, they have never read some books within the Bible. That is a shame. That is not honorable. And Joshua determined that I'm going to expose all of the Word of God to God's people, the blessings and the curses, to the women, to the little children, to the whole congregation of Israel. They're all going to get all of the Word of God. That's how we ought to read the Word of God. It's all of equal value. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. So let me encourage you, if you are determined to be a student of the Word of God, to read through the Word of God, read all of the Word of God. Place equal value on the whole Bible. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8, please. The third verse, a further principle in reading the Word of God. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midnight, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So our next principle is the principle of attentiveness. Attentiveness. Closely connected to listening, attentiveness, a determined desire to hear from God. There are so many distractions today. And you and I, as the people of God, need to do everything we can to eliminate those distractions, to remove those noises, so to speak, that will hinder our concentration on the Word of God. And God brought about a great revival here in the days of Nehemiah because God's people were attentive to the Word of God. They were not daydreaming. They were not dozing off and sleeping. They're not thinking about what's next. No, they were focused upon the Word of God. Are you attentive to the Word of God this evening? Some of you are possibly thinking about the next event. Well, come back to planet Earth, please. Let's be attentive to the Word of God this evening. We need to be attentive to the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the inspired Word. This is eternal. In fact, this is the only supernatural, tangible book that we have on planet Earth. This is supernatural. This is a supernatural book. And we need to be attentive to the reading of the Word of God. But also note there in Numbers chapter 8, verse number 8, a further principle concerning the reading of the Word of God. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, clearly, and gave the sense, explained what it meant, and caused them to understand the reading, the application of the Word of God. So the Word of God here that led to revival amongst God's people, the Word of God was clearly read. Then it was understood, explained, and then it was personally applied. That is so critically important. The practical application of God's Word. And let me encourage you, as you read the Word of God, seek that application. Lord, what application do you have for me from your Word as I read it? Seek application. Don't just seek more knowledge. Seek the application of the Word of God to your life. Note there in Nehemiah 8 verse 18, a further principle concerning reading the Scriptures. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read the book of the law of God. Note the principle of daily reading. The principle of daily reading. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to read the Word of God daily. And all of God's people said, daily. Morning and evening. A biblical quiet time takes place in the morning and also in the evening. That's my opinion. Daily reading. You need to read the Word of God daily. And little by little, the Word of God will have an effect upon our hearts, upon our lives. Go to Nehemiah chapter 9, the third verse. Note what the reading led to. Chapter 9, verse number 3. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God. 1/4 part of the day. Another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. See, our reading should lead to worship. Our reading of the Scriptures should lead to worship. So we don't read the Bible as a exercise as such, a discipline. It's a means to an end. We read the Word of God in order to worship the Lord. That's why we would normally encourage you to begin your quiet time by reading the Scriptures, listening attentively to God. And as God speaks to your heart, as He fills your heart with His Word, then you respond in worship, confession, worship. Effective Bible reading is Bible reading that leads to worship. To just read your daily reading schedule, wiping your brow, thinking, oh, thank God, that's over and done with. I've read 2 John today. Let's get on with life. Failed. That's where most of us live. Am I right or not? It's true, isn't it? The reading doesn't become worship. We're on a schedule, we put God in this little box, and we give God a bit of time, we read our portion of Scripture, have a little prayer, 1, 2, 3, and off we go. That's not how it ought to work. Your quiet time, your personal daily reading should lead to worship. It's as if you're before the throne of God and you've been listening to God and He's been speaking to your heart. He's been ministering to your heart. And our response should be, Lord, I worship You. Worship is connected with reading. to believe and cleave unto the promises of God is also connected to the reading of the Scriptures. Quickly, Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Verses 16 and 17. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate for my mouth. It hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. He hath cast a lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. So note that little phrase then, verse 16, no one of these shall fail. That's concerning God's promises, the promises of God. As we read the Scriptures, we need to believe and cleave unto the promises of God. It's been estimated the Bible contains some 31,000 verses. I don't recall the exact number. Just over 31,000 verses in the Bible, altogether, Old and New Testament put together. Out of those, there are no less than 7,500 promises made from God to man. So approximately one in four verses has some sort of a promise for you and I. Now that's encouraging. That's a pretty heavy strike rate. One in four is a promise that God gives us. So as you and I read the Bible, believe and claim His promises. Because the Bible is saturated with promises that He makes for His people. And God tells us not one of these shall fail in hope of eternal life that God has promised. God who cannot lie, that is a promise. Rejoice in the promises of God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's a promise of God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. That is a promise of God. Give and it shall be given unto you. That is a promise of God. So as you read the Scriptures, choose to believe and cleave unto the promises of God. Some one in four verses are promises that God makes to man in the Word of God. Great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. The Bible is full of great and precious promises. Matthew chapter 21, please, quickly. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Are you still with me? These are just some general principles on how to read. How to read the Bible. Do you want to become a student of the Word of God? Well, the Bible gives us some insight on how we are to read the Bible. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Matthew 21, 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. As you read the Scriptures, look for Jesus Christ. Look for Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus quotes out of Psalm 118, verses 22 and 23, the stone which the builders refused, it's become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So the Lord Jesus was pointing to Himself as the promised Messiah, prophesied, foretold of within the Old Testament Scriptures. And as we read the Scriptures, please look for the person of Jesus Christ, the altogether lovely one. It's all about Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. The scriptures are about Christ. Luke 24, verses 27 and 44 tells us the scriptures are all about Jesus Christ. How do we read the scriptures as a studious individual? We look for Christ. We look for the Lord Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 8, please. Acts chapter 8. Another example of individuals reading the scriptures. What can we learn from this passage? Acts chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible makes reference to a gentleman reading the scriptures. Note then verse 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Look at verse 30. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And note his response in verse 31. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then the Bible goes on to teach how Philip began to explain to this Ethiopian eunuch that these verses here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, speak of Jesus Christ. Speak of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So as this man was returning from Jerusalem, sitting in his chariot, reading the Word of God, the Spirit of God led Philip the evangelist to him. As he heard him read the scriptures, he simply asked the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And that humble response by the Ethiopian, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And the point I want to make is this, that this Ethiopian eunuch came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his Messiah, because this man was teachable. He was prepared to be taught. And there are times that you and I will read the scriptures. Don't tune out on me, I'm almost done. Okay? He was reading the scriptures sincerely. And then Philip asked him, "Do you understand the passage that you're reading?" He said, "No, I need somebody to help me." And because the eunuch was prepared to, he allowed Philip to help him, that man came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. He was teachable. And the point I want to make is this, as we read the scriptures, look, we need to be teachable. We need to be teachable. And this might mean there are times that you and I will need some extra tutoring when it comes to understanding the scriptures. You won't understand all of the scriptures. I can assure you that at the age of 18, as I was plowing through Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it did not make a whole lot of sense to me. But I thank God that God brought men of God in my life that helped me to understand these difficult passages of Scripture. But the point is that I had a teachable spirit. So, I want to make this point this evening. As you read the scriptures, be teachable. You won't work it all out on your own. But Pastor, I've got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you also got flesh. And God has ordained men of God, pastors, teachers, to teach people the Word of God. So as you read the Word of God, be teachable, and humbly admit that I'm not going to understand everything on my own. It could well be that I will need an evangelist by the name of Philip to draw along my side and to help me to understand what the Scriptures are teaching. Amen. So don't start your growth by thinking that you are invincible. You are Mr. Bible invincible. If that's your attitude, you will become the next cult. Yes, you will. You'll have your website up in no time. You'll be writing your books and sending out your articles. We're not invincible. We don't know everything. We need pastors, teachers. We need those that are further ahead. Philip knew the Lord Jesus. So he could educate this eunuch on how he could know the Lord Jesus. So be teachable. You won't work it all out on your own. Sorry about that. That's how it is. But be teachable. And don't think you've got a monopoly on truth. I entered Bible college thinking I knew a lot. I did. I was excited about learning more. But I entered Bible college thinking I knew a lot. I read my Bible a number of times all the way through from 1982 until I started Bible college, 1984, a number of times. Saturated my mind with the Word of God. So I went to the Bible college thinking I knew a lot. By the end of the first year of Bible college, I realized, wow, there's a whole lot more to learn. When I graduated from Bible college, I realized I know very little. So humbling it was. I had all these ambitions of going to Bible college and finishing Bible college and having all of this wealth of knowledge, but I went through 3 years of Bible college only to realize how little I really knew compared to what there is to know. And beloved, if you will come to that realization, you will grow. You will grow spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm almost done. You believe me? Really, I'm almost done. A couple more verses. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, verses 14 and 15. Their minds were blinded, but until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. These verses are, in essence, referring to the nation of Israel in unbelief. A failure to confess that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And unbelief will blind us from understanding God's Word. And the Apostle Paul makes reference to the blindness that prevails amongst the Jewish people that rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But as they read the words of Moses, they fail to see Jesus Christ in all His glory. Unbelief will blind us from understanding the Word of God. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is in reference to that person that is not a Christian. My friend, if you're not a Christian here this evening, you will never grasp an understanding of the Word of God in its entirety. Because the Word of God is a spiritual book. So we need to make sure that we're saved. And God said concerning His people that they are in blindness. When they read the words of Moses, they read through the pages of the Pentateuch, they don't see Christ because they're in unbelief. They're rejecting their Messiah. Unbelief will blind us from understanding.